everybody. Welcome back to the Biographics Podcast. I'm Simon, and this episode today originally aired on our YouTube channel. If you like it, please do consider heading over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leaving us a rating and or a review. 5 stars or whatever is always preferred, but do be honest. Let us know how we're doing. Really do appreciate it. And let's get into today's episode.
It is no secret that Amazon.com is dominating multiple aspects of our daily lives. We can find just about everything we could possibly need on their site. And if you've got Amazon Prime, you only wait 2 days for free delivery. For our digital media, we can read books on Kindle, listen to music on Alexa, and we can also watch on-demand movies and TV series. This all started with an idea that exploded into a digital revolution. So, who is the man behind the trillion-dollar company? Well, on today's episode of Biographics, we're talking about Jeff Bezos. On January the 12th, 1964, a 17-year-old girl named Jacqueline Gies gave birth to a baby boy named Jeffrey Preston Jorgensen in Albuquerque, New Mexico. She was married to Jeff's biological father, Ted Jorgensen, for just 1 year while she was finishing earning her high school diploma, but the relationship was not meant to last, and they got a divorce. Jacqueline later remarried a man named Mike Bezos, who was a Cuban immigrant who earned a college scholarship in the U.S. They had 2 children together, and they also gave Jeff the last name Bezos. Jeff grew up in a very loving and supportive family. His stepfather Mike was very resourceful and hardworking. His mother was very loving and supportive, and she was especially concerned about making sure that her son got the best education possible. She put Jeff into a Montessori school. The idea behind this educational method is to allow a child to excel in their natural talents so they choose what they want to learn at their own pace, instead of forcing every child to learn the same things at the same time. Jeff was extremely focused on his schoolwork, even from a young age. After the allotted time in each subject was up, his teachers had a hard time getting him to move on to the next topic. In preschool, they had to pick him up while still sitting in his chair and move him just to break his concentration. Jeff Bezos spent his summer vacations living with his grandparents and helping them run their ranch in Texas. His grandparents owned an Airstream trailer, so they would go on long road trip vacations together as well. During these road trips, he would find excuses to do math problems on a scrap of paper, like their average gas mileage and how much they were spending on groceries. Even though he helped around the ranch with the chores, he did not particularly enjoy the outdoors, and he preferred to watch TV and read books. At a very early age, Jeff Bezos was showing signs that he was a genius. His grandfather was also a very intelligent man, and he could see the potential in Jeff's future. So his grandfather gave him some very valuable advice, which stuck with him for the rest of his life. Bezos explained, "It's harder to be kind than clever. Cleverness is a gift, kindness is a choice, and choices can be hard. You can seduce yourself with your gifts if you're not careful." He spent the rest of his life reminding himself that no matter how much he accomplished, he would try to stay down to earth. At home, his mother allowed him to have a workshop in their garage where he built a solar cooker, a hovercraft, and even installed a security alarm on his bedroom door. He was competing in science fairs, reading science fiction, and watching episodes of Star Trek on TV. When he was just 10 years old, he found a teletype computer at his school. He and his friends found out that there was a Star Trek game pre-programmed into the system called Trek 73, so he and his friends used the computer to play this game. This sparked his interest in computer programming, and it would carry on for the rest of his life. Jeff Bezos started his first business in high school. He was disappointed by the quality of his town's local summer camp, where kids were just playing games outside most of the day and not really learning anything. So he founded a new camp called the Dream Institute. They allowed kids from the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade to attend and focused on teaching children about important works of literature in a fun and exciting way. The business, it was a success, and many of these kids who were doing their summer reading would go on to get better grades in school. Not surprisingly, he was the valedictorian of his high school class, and during his graduation speech, he said that he believed that one day human beings would colonize space. After graduation, he attended Princeton University and earned a degree in computer science. His first job was at a startup called Fitel. While he worked there, he was expected to fly between New York and London nearly every week in order to get his job done, which was costing the company a tremendous amount of money. He realized that this was not the most efficient way to run a business, and it got him to thinking about all the different things that he would do more efficiently if he got to run his own company in the future. His next job was at Bankers Trust, which gave him some experience in the financial industry. Next, he worked for an investment firm on Wall Street called D.E. Shaw. He helped to develop software for trading stocks online. As the years went on, Jeff Bezos was staying on top of the news about the growth of the internet. He realized that every single year, the number of people who were using the internet was increasing by 2,300%. Even though the World Wide Web had many naysayers, he knew that the internet wasn't just a passing fad, and it would become a part of people's daily lives very soon. He knew early on to take advantage of this, and Bezos figured that if he could genuinely create an online business that would help make people's lives easier, it would last. His motto was, think about the customer and then work from there. Before Jeff Bezos met his wife, Mackenzie, he said that he was always looking for a resourceful woman because he always admired how his own parents would work as a team in order to make their circumstances work. He later joked that he was looking for someone sort of like MacGyver, someone who was able to get him out of a third world prison. He was lucky to find her while he was still working his job at D.E. Shaw. Mackenzie Tuttle was a fellow Princeton alumni who was applying to work for the firm. Since Jeff Bezos was the one in charge of hiring new candidates, he saw her resume and, even before meeting her, he knew that she was clearly a very intelligent and capable woman. When she arrived for the job interview, he felt Cupid's arrow strike him right in the heart. Even though office romances are sometimes frowned upon, they fell in love. Now, even though he secretly admired her, he didn't want to cross the line, so it was actually Mackenzie who made the first move and asked him out for lunch. They were dating for just 3 months before they got engaged, and they got married in 1993. When Jeff Bezos turned 30 years old, they had been married for only a year. He told his wife about his idea for an online bookstore and that he wanted to quit his job in order to pursue it. They decided to leave New York City in 1994. Bezos chose to start his company in Seattle because it's also the location of Microsoft, so there was a lot of talent in the tech industry living there for him to find employees from. It's also far cheaper to start a company there compared to New York or Silicon Valley. They now have several children together, and they had built a rock-solid foundation together long before Amazon.com ever existed. Once the company began to do well, Mackenzie was able to fulfill her dream of becoming a published author. Today, Jeff Bezos, he puts family first. He says that he refuses to take any meetings before 10 a.m. because spending time with his family and having breakfast with his children before they go to school is more important to him than anything else. When Jeff and Mackenzie Bezos first moved out to the West Coast to start Amazon.com in 1994, at that time, the website only sold used books. In his mind, Jeff Bezos imagined a bookstore with millions of titles, and he knew that that would eventually be the end goal of the company. Mackenzie did the accounting, and he began building the website and sourcing inventory. In the beginning, they ran the company out of their garage. After receiving an order for a book, Jeff would go to thrift stores and used bookshops looking for the book that was requested and then send it to the customer through the mail. If he could not find it, he would source it from someone else online just to make sure that the sale went through. That way, they were able to run the company without using much physical space. When they were ready to hire a team to help them run the business out of their house, the staff of Amazon.com, it was only 8 people. Since the company did not have much money, he asked his employees to make desks out of old doors. Even to this day, the door desk is still a tradition at Amazon offices. Before bringing the website live onto the World Wide Web, Bezos sent it to 300 of his friends so that they could test it beforehand. When the team was getting ready to officially launch the site in 1995, they had set up the computer to ding every time that there was a sale. In the beginning, everyone would shout and cheer every time there was a new sale, but within just a few days, there were so many sales that they grew tired of the noise and they had to turn it off. The website was so popular, they were getting business through word of mouth without paying a single dime for press coverage. Jeff's idea, it was absolutely working, and it was clear to the team that the company would become a success. The reason why Amazon.com succeeded so quickly was that Bezos was filling a very real need that people had. It was the very first online bookstore before even Barnes & Noble began selling their stock on the internet. Ever since then, Amazon continued to pioneer various aspects of incorporating the internet into people's daily lives, and he says that for 7 years, there was no competition that was similar to what he was doing. In 1997, Bezos wanted to take Amazon.com public. Thankfully, he still had connections on Wall Street, so he knew exactly how to approach investors with a business plan. He fully admitted that he did not actually intend to make any profit for the first 5 years that the company was operating. Jeff Bezos gave stock options to all of his original employees, and this made them very motivated to make the company succeed. After a couple of years, every single one of those 8 employees had become multi-millionaires. After a while, Bezos wanted to sell far more than just books. He emailed 1,000 random customers asking what sorts of items they would like to buy on the internet. Soon enough, he was getting replies of items in just about every category. He realized that he wanted to grow Amazon into a store that sold everything, and he began using the same method that he had with books: listing a product online, buying the item in person, and then shipping it to the customer. Of course, this only helped the company grow even more. But even after earning millions of dollars, Bezos continued to drive his beat-up old Honda. He wanted to show his employees that he still stood by his core values of frugality and resourcefulness. Instead of spending that money on himself, he reinvested the money to make Amazon.com better. They bought out other competing online book retailers and brought them into the fold. He also decided to give anyone in the United States the opportunity to sell on the Amazon platform as third-party sellers, which only made the platform stronger because it expanded their inventory. Every decision Jeff Bezos made for the expanding business was with the future in mind. When he learned about ebooks, he gave the people the opportunity to self-publish their work online for the first time and earn an income. Next, he developed the Kindle e-reader to give people a place to read all of their ebooks. When he saw digital streaming services becoming popular, he jumped on that bandwagon as well. And the list of things like this, it just goes on and on. Today, Amazon.com is one of the most massive corporations in the world, and they have dipped their toes into so many different industries at this point that it's kind of hard to keep track. Amazon has been criticized for putting independent bookstores out of business. Even major corporations like Borders Books simply could not compete. According to Amazon.com's former manager, Mike Daisy, Amazon is designed from the ground up to be a shark. It's designed to dissolve and destroy other businesses by undercutting them. However, Jeff Bezos argues that he should not be blamed for the downfall of these other businesses because the future was coming no matter what, whether it was him or someone else. Jeff Bezos says that whenever he makes a major business decision, he imagines himself at 80 years old and if he would be proud of his actions looking back. If the answer is yes, he listens to that intuition and he goes for it. By listening to his heart, he has become one of the most successful people in the world. Amazon has been incredibly successful, and a lot of people attribute it to Jeff Bezos' skills in leadership. He has a list of core values for Amazon, and he always abides by those rules himself. At the end of the dot-com bubble, the value of Amazon's stock went from $113 per share all the way down to $6 per share. For many members of the original team, they lost millions of dollars in their stock portfolio, and this was enough to destroy the vast majority of those early internet businesses. One of the many reasons why Amazon survived was that Jeff Bezos wasn't judging the business's success on the stock price. He knew that people were still using the website and that it was growing every single day. As we mentioned before, Bezos always made his customers the number one priority. Whenever he received a very serious complaint, he would never try to reprimand his employees for making a mistake. Instead, he would forward a particularly troubling customer complaint to the manager of each department with a simple question mark in the subject line. According to former employees, getting one of those question mark emails was terrifying, and they would quickly do everything they could to fix the problem immediately. When the issues were resolved, Bezos would simply reply with a smiley face. If he sees a bad experience that a customer has, he uses it as a case study to improve the company overall and not just that one person's individual experience. Amazon is now available in 16 countries, so he has had to give up much of the power over those branches of the company since he can't be everywhere at once. Some countries are actually trying to fend off Amazon's monopoly in certain industries. In France, for example, there is a law that no bookstore, whether it be online or in person, is allowed to discount a book by more than 5% off the retail price, and they cannot give free shipping to entice buyers. This way, independent bookshops in France are still thriving. Only time is going to tell how many nations are going to adopt Amazon in the future. By a stroke of genius, Jeff Bezos has managed to run Amazon.com with little to no profit, despite the fact that they are bringing in billions of dollars in revenue every single year. This is because he's always thinking about the future and trying to grow the business to keep pushing the envelope in what is going to happen next. Bezos is still a true Trekkie at heart, so it's really no surprise that he is creating a private space company called Blue Origin. Just like he said during his high school graduation speech, he still believes that someday it will be very normal for people to be living and working in space, and he wants to be on the forefront of that future. At the time that we're making this video, Jeff Bezos is worth $137.6 billion, and that makes him the wealthiest man in all of history. Amazon.com, it's been valued at over $1 trillion, and of course there is always the chance that this wealth will grow. But he isn't just hoarding all of this money to himself. He created the Bezos Family Foundation and asked the world what charitable cause he could help pay for. He received 47,000 emails with suggestions about where the money should go, and he spends a lot of time reading some of the best ideas for causes that truly matter. He said, "All of the best decisions are made with instinct, intuition, and heart." Jeff Bezos says that he wants to give his money away to many of these charities and invest more in startup business ideas that will help humanity. He decided to begin this journey by opening tuition-free Montessori preschools in underprivileged communities so that children can have the same opportunities that he did. He also wants to open homeless shelters that allow an entire family to stay together instead of splitting men and women apart. As time goes on, we'll see just how much Jeff Bezos uses his money for good, and well, he's always open to suggestions.
So I really hope you enjoyed that episode of the Biographics Podcast. Please do consider heading over to wherever you get your podcasts and leaving us a review. It does make a big difference. It gets this podcast in front of more people. So if you do that, I would greatly appreciate it. And I'll see you next time.